sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan. What a way to put the Beagle down.
Thank you very much. Not a bad shot. I am Stan Hudson.
I'm John Kurlinski. We'd like to welcome you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a very lighthearted and lightheaded look, lighthearted look at the serious issues of creation, evolution, the Bible's account, Darwin's account, all these things, try to jam them together and make some sense out of it, and unfortunately,
here's a hammer to help pound them in together. Then.
And we are unabashed creationists and in-your-face creationists. Actually, that's kind of how we are.
Well, you have to kind of be sometimes in-your-face creationist, Dan, because sometimes the evolutionists want to say, throw up one experiment, and they say, here's an in-your-face thing that proves you're wrong, so just go away.
Go away.
That's what they'd like to say to you.
And it's kind of a cold thing to say, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, today we're going to talk about, they try to give us the cold shoulder.
The cold shoulder.
Actually, what we want to talk about today is what we call deep ice.
Ice.
You
hear the ice in this drink.
Yeah. Well, most of you look outside and across America today, and depending on where you live, most of you probably have ice outside your door in some form.
Well, now, how does ice enter into the issues of creation evolution?
Well, they believe that you can take what they call from drilling machines, you can take cores, core samples, and they've done that in Greenland and other places, and they say if you can just count the cores and rings of ice, you can actually date the ice sheets to be so many years old. And there are some arguments now put up by scientists saying, well, the Greenland ice sheet was 100,000, 110,000 years old.
Right.
So how can you ever say that everything happened 6,000 years ago? We got over 110,000 years of ice. Just go away, you creationists.
Yeah, and that's thought to be kind of one of those magic bullets that gets rid of
creationists. Yes. But we're back.
We're back.
We're not going away.
No, and I'm sorry, but that's how that is.
What do you do with that?
We do have some ideas. Now, first of all, the whole concept of ice age. John has at times been a question for a creationist short age, because most ice ages are placed at 10, 20,000 years ago.
A little beyond 7,000.
Beyond the 7 or 6,000 of the age of the earth, according to biblical chronology. So how do you explain the ice ages and the glaciation of North America and the parts of Asia and so forth and Europe? How do you explain that, given the flood? And actually, there are some ideas.
We have some good ideas. Actually, if you look at the biblical description of the pre-flood world, what you seem to have there is a description of a canopy that would make the whole world seem much more at least moderate in climate, tropical in climate.
Yes.
All the way up even to the polar extremes, what we'd call them now, but they weren't extremes back then.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's fossil evidence even in Antarctica of fossilized tree ferns and tropical plants.
Yes, and how do they get there?
So
the next thing you have after the flood, you'd have a destruction and an interruption and a massive change, not only in the Earth's structure and the continents and the oceans, but you also now have this factor called weather. That is much more changing. It's not consistent. It's not constant. And you have also what I would believe would be what I'd call the period of violent storm.
That's right. Well, Scripture says that after the flood that there would be seasons now, as those seasons didn't exist before the flood. Like you say, there were different atmospheric conditions applying. But after the flood, if you will remember the flood account, that God sent a great wind across the earth to help dry things up. But wind happens when there is a tremendous difference in temperature on the surface of the earth. And so the differences in the temperature probably was the beginning of ice forming in the north and south poles and becoming a problem.
And we suspect it was a rapid, we don't call it ice ages, we call it ice age, one longer ice age with seasonal fluctuations in the length and the duration of the ice sheet, which would seem to make sense with warming and cooling climates. Matter of fact, right now, Just look at it. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been too long, even in my lifetime, where you look at extreme cold not too many years ago in the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. and the earth seemed to be cool, and all of a sudden they're talking about global warming because of the evil mm-hmm. industrial empires of man.
But there is evidence that the planet is warming, it'd be fair to say, but this all may be just sort of a continuation of a trend
since the
Ice Age. Now, what is the Ice Age in terms of creationist view? What do you see as our model, shall we say, for an Ice Age?
Well, we would see a post-flood Ice Age with a cooling of the extremes of the planet mm-hmm. after the flood and mm-hmm. the formations of these massive sheets.
Lots of water still in the atmosphere
that comes down in forms of ice over many storms. And as time goes on, these actually probably lessen in severity and, mm-hmm. and quantity. Mm-hmm. There is a change in the numbers and the volumes. And the retreating ice sheet would cause different, by the way, we're recording right now out in the middle of what would we call a post-ice age or late ice age flood mm-hmm. of eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. J. Harlan Brenz, evolutionary geologist, we might say, that, mm-hmm. you know, catastrophe does happen. He kind of put catastrophe back on the map for creationists again to make mm-hmm. it popular. But the point is that you have those changes.
And those floods that he talks about, the Missoula flood and other speculations about the Grand Canyon being formed and Monument Valley and all this evidence of lots of water action there are probably events in a post-flood time with water trapped in inland seas
and busting through
ice dams, glaciation, and so forth, as those things were warming up and retreating these glaciers.
And so we come back then to a series of what we're describing is a world in great flux, great change.
Oh, yes.
So things aren't happening every year the same thing. Yes, we have mm-hmm. seasons, but what's happening during these seasons on this Earth is wildly changing. Even you can look at our own seasons. Sometimes you have seasons with lots of snow, less snow, more snow, less snow, many storms, few storms.
Sure.
And as a result, how do these storms pile up on a subcontinent like Greenland mm-hmm. and form the Greenland ice shield?
Well, again, if you look at the post-flood, and there's evidence, for instance, like the frozen mammoths that they found in Siberia and so forth, whatever your view of the comparatively recent past, whether you're an evolutionist that believes in millions or a creationist, a few thousand years ago, things were really hopping. And animals like mammoths were on the plain eating flowers and green plants and then they were frozen in place and covered by snow. And no matter what, there's fluctuations going on there that are not happening recently. So the weather patterns have tremendously changed, and there's evidence of volcanic activity much, much higher in the past than currently is going on.
People want to think that a lot of volcanoes are going now and lots more earthquakes. Actually, there's a lot less. Mm-hmm. Things are settling more and more towards stasis mm-hmm. in many ways in our mm-hmm. in our world, in mm-hmm. many different areas. So what we have here, Stan, what's going on then? Why do we still get 110,000 years? We still are dealing with ice cores and ice ages and years. What mm-hmm. where are we driving at
well,
here today?
Well, it's all about our basic assumptions that we bring to the data. Now, if you are a long-age uniformitarian evolutionist, you look at things and you see, as I look around the planet today, I see certain things going on. I see annual amounts of snow accumulation and ice rings forming in the ice fields in Greenland. And so we see how they're being formed now. Now, it takes, one ring per year, kind of, roughly. And so we figure that if there's 110,000 rings in the ice sheet of Greenland, then it's got to indicate 110,000
years. Is that the case? Is there another way of looking at the data then that would say, well, wait, how do you do that?
Well, creationists, because they have a different assumption, looking at the data, actually ask better questions. They say, are there other ways that we could interpret this data and simply just, write it off as 110,000 years? And as it turns out, yes. In fact, it fits the data even better.
And some of these ways are saying we're not measuring, when we look at these ice core rings, we're not measuring annual time
changes. Yeah,
we're mm-hmm. measuring. What we're really measuring is not annual, but storms severity and the number mm-hmm. of storms. What you're getting is just calculating the warming and cooling. Even within a given year, may leave even several to many rings, depending on the conditions back then when they were being deposited.
you know, a few years ago, there was a big deal about a World War II era plane that went down. Actually, several planes went down. They had to land on
forced landing on Greenland.
They ran out of gas. They had to land there, and then the pilots left them there. Well, you know, the story was known, and eventually some collectors wanted to get hold of one of these old planes, and so, well, let's go back to Greenland and dig it up. And when they went back to look for it, not only was it not something they could just get shovels out and dig the snow off of the wings on, you know, a few inches a year of snow, it was actually several hundred feet down below the ice.
They were astounded at how much snow and ice since World War II had covered these planes, buried them deep into the ice shield, and actually were transported in that ice shield of where they originally thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
It was real close to the site. They were close, but they didn't find them right exactly where they wanted to find them.
Right. It actually moved. No, it actually moved laterally as well. So.
Laterally as well. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, when you start counting the rings in that level and depth, you discover that this happened over only 50 years. Or
50 years, and there were more than 50 rings, if I remember correctly,
hundreds.
The story. There was, hundreds was what we heard in one report on it. But the point is this, there was more ice per that short period of time than they had expected.
Had anticipated.
Even though it is true that over time ice will compact with weight.
Yes, oh sure.
Sure, it'll get narrower the further down you get. But here's the thing. The question really is, what kind of basis do you look at the data through? What kind of glasses do you wear? For instance, they found in looking at such things as nitric acid, and I won't go into the details of some of the difficulties of this, but dust, like dust from volcanic action and so forth, things like this, when they looked at the data very carefully, would fit in a little bit better with our post-flood model than, frankly, uniformitarian views.
Yeah, and so we have a little torpedo text we like to throw out regarding how what glasses you use, and the glasses of evolutionary theory and the glasses of long age have these to do it. And the Bible even predicts that they would be there. What do they have there?
Well, we've talked about these last day scoffers. We've quoted from 2 Peter 3 before, but it says these scoffers will say, where is the coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. In other words, there's a consistency in the processes of this world that do not indicate a God who steps into history.
Yeah, and what they're saying is that everything goes on and on, nothing changes.
Nothing changes.
And yet that model doesn't serve you well if you really want to give an honest evaluation of the data.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that a model that would include a potential, we don't know how violent the storms were necessarily or easily as measured 5,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. We get hints at it, we wonder, we speculate, but in the end, we don't know the severity. And so when we start looking at all the data with fresh glasses, it sometimes will indicate things that are much different than what appear to be on the surface.
No matter how you view the Earth's history, you have to at least agree that there was more ice way back when than there is now.
Any way you look at it, ice ages themselves, we don't deny ice ages. We just say that they didn't come tens of thousands of years ago and multiple tens of thousands of years between them. We believe it was one intense age over a shorter period of time, not as long ago.
That's right.
And that's how we would interpret the ice ages. Mm-hmm. And I think the same viewpoint would still, with when you start looking at corroborating different scientific experiments, also explains, for that matter, the ice core question as well.
Mm-hmm.
What you're really measuring is the storm severity, warming and cooling periods, and not tens of thousands of years.
It's not the silver bullet that evolutionists would like to think they have in it.
No.
That's quite open to interpretation, and the data would, we think, support the biblical view.
And so you don't have to see yourself as an idiot like we think of, or a fool, if you want to believe that a Bible does declare that you were made approximately 6,000-7,000 years ago.
By a loving Creator who has plans for you even now and is looking forward to the day that he is coming
returning.
Despite the scoffers.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.